This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, the topic is landlord-tenant laws, issues, and disputes. We're doing this program on October 21st, 2015. And you will have an opportunity, if you're listening to the program live, to call in. Our toll-free number is 1-866-798-8255. 1-866-798-8255. Also, we have a Call a Lawyer night where Sam Amin is our landlord-tenant attorney in the conference room here at the station. And if you'd like to talk to him off the air, it's 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. My guest on the air at this point is Salvatore Timpano, who has law offices in San Francisco. Sal practices or does cases both for landlords and tenants. Sal has been a very loyal guest on the program and also for Call a Lawyer Night. So before I talk with Sal, let me just mention to you that this segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. Sal, I was preparing for the program, I found that there is a Proposition F on the November 4th ballot of San Francisco. It's an initiative to restrict short-term rentals, again, Proposition F. It's proposed by a coalition of groups called Share Better SF. And Share Better SF has made the statement that San Francisco is facing its worst housing crisis in more than a century, with skyrocketing rents and home prices. I did a little research on the internet today, and I don't think that this is unusual. By the way, San Francisco has the most expensive rental units in the country, even surpassing the city of New York. There are two quotes that I found for a one-bedroom in San Francisco. One amount was $2,965. The other quote was $3,500. And in my research, I found that for a two-bedroom in San Francisco, $3,853. What I thought we'd do, if you're agreeable with this, Sal, let's talk a little bit about Proposition F. And what it's going to do, it's really aimed at Airbnb, which has, by the way, as I understand it, has invested about $8 million in opposing Proposition F.
I've read that as well, Chuck.
It's incredible. Share Better SF have come up with, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of not quite 400,000, yeah, as their kitty for this. What thoughts do you have about Proposition F, and what do you think it's going to do to housing, if anything, in San Francisco, which I think is the crucial issue here?
Well, there's a lot in that proposition. There's a lot in there, and it's going to affect, you know, I represent landlords and tenants primarily, but there's also tourists involved in Prop F. There's hotel operators, motel operators, city governments, taxes.
Yes.
There's a lot of moving parts to Proposition F. From the perspective of a resident of their own home or of an apartment as a renter, Prop F is going to seek to restrict their use of their home, mm-hmm, whether they own it or rent it, allowing 75 days.
That's it, the maximum 75
right.
days during a year.
And that 75 days is for a permanent resident.
Yeah.
So if a homeowner owns a second home, they're not a permanent resident of that second home.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get the 75 days on that because they're not a permanent resident. It's an empty home.
Yeah.
So for tenants as well, if tenants want to rent out, you know, their permanent resident apartment, they're only going to be able to do it 75 days a year. I don't see the huge problem in people renting out their living space,
uh-huh,
to tourists. I personally don't see the big problem with just that. There are some problems that aren't really delineated in the proposition, in the language of the proposition. But as far as what I see there, I don't see how that would hurt housing. Unless they're assuming that people are going to move from San Francisco and turn their housing into full-time rentals.
One of the things that in the piece that I have looked at and printed off of the computer is that they say current city law allows 90 days of unhosted short-term rentals for any given unit and permits unlimited hosted short-term rentals. By that, it means unlimited hosted. If, for example, as I understand it, under current San Francisco law, if someone is living in their home and they have a room that they want to rent, as long as they are living in that home, they have, under current law, there's no limitation on to how many days per year they can rent that.
That's how
that's
I understand
the second
that's
unit. Right. Now, what's going to happen here, as I understand it, is that whether you're living in the home or not, it's going to be a maximum of 75 days. And the other thing that apparently under current law right now, for example, something called in-law units. Yeah. Let me read this, and then you can tell us what an in-law unit is. The city's laws, as of the beginning of 2015, allowed in-law units to be rented as unhosted short-term rentals subject to the 90-day annual cap. Proposition F was designed to prohibit the use of in-law units for short-term rentals entirely. What is an in-law unit?
Okay, so an in-law unit, the way they're using it would be a legal space that's usually built into a single-family home.
Uh-huh.
So it was originally one living space, a in-law unit was added in. Many of them are added in without permits, but there they're not speaking about an illegal or unwarranted. So the language there is speaking to a legal in-law mm-hmm. unit, mm-hmm. which some landlords rent out, some owners of the property. Others would keep it vacant and maybe start doing the mm-hmm. short-term rentals.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of the home would probably like to be able to rent out that illegal unit to whomever they want, even
sure.
if it's a tourist.
Of course.
And Prop yeah. F would limit them to 75 days.
Mm-hmm.
Current law, I think, gives them a little bit more. I think.
Well, let me just say this. According to this analysis by an outfit called Ballotpedia, it says under Proposition F, if it is passed, it's designed to prohibit the use of in-law units for short-term rentals.
Oh, completely.
Completely.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
completely.
That's...
So that if you have an in-law unit under Proposition F, you're not going to be able to do that.
Right. You can either rent it out to a tenant or keep it vacant.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You can't do this as some kind of a tourist type
right.
of thing.
Perhaps the hotel and motel industry is... I don't see where they could be losing money. I think they're full.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But maybe the Prop F is trying to protect them. I'm sure they're behind, you know, Prop F not passing.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
In that you represent both landlords and tenants, of course, in different cases. Not at the same time, of course. What do you find as being the major problem today that you see in your practice in San Francisco, which may be something that is echoed in other parts of the state as well as other parts of the country?
Mm-hmm. I think San Francisco's housing shortage, we'll call it,
mm-hmm.
Housing shortage is fueling some of the highest rents that anyone's ever seen.
Well, it's the most expensive rental
city
in the country.
Yeah, I believe that to be true.
Yeah.
I think the numbers that you quoted earlier in the program are correct,
mm-hmm.
certainly
mm-hmm.
for certain parts of the city. Maybe not everywhere,
yeah.
but certain parts of the city,
sure.
they're definitely going to be that high. And it's, you know, landlords want to participate in the free market economy. They want to get those market dollars.
Yeah.
And tenants want to keep their rent-controlled apartments, which wouldn't be a problem if the rents didn't shoot up so high.
Yes.
You know, landlords would have no incentive to want those tenants to move. and the tenants would, you know, continue staying there most likely. But now even more so, because if they lose those units, they can't go anywhere else in San Francisco. So tenants are being advised, by me anyway, my tenant clients, to, you know, abide by their lease, mm-hmm. pay their rent on time, and if they have any problems with the landlord, get to work fixing it right away.
Yes.
Because you don't want to give any excuse to a landlord who's looking to evict. And, you know, if the landlords don't have it easy either, because they've got to maintain these properties, mm-hmm. and they're trying to turn it into an income property, which is the reason they bought it for in the first place.
Of course.
So now they see that they can't get the market rents, and it's just a tough problem. It's probably polarizing landlords and tenants.
I would think so. What approach do you take with landlords who are saying, gosh, the market rate out there is considerably higher than what my tenants are paying for the rent because of rent control? What do you tell them in terms of how they should deal with possibly evicting anybody or not evicting? What general approach do you take with them? Because obviously they're claiming to you when they call you, hey, I'm financially hurting.
Yes, many of them do. Some of them, after discussing it with me, realize that they've got good tenants that are reliable. You know, they're reliable, they take care of the place, and they decide to just keep going on that way,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
it's still sort of what they signed up for, except for the changing variable, which is the housing shortage, which is making the rents go up.
Of course.
Others will ask me to look for a basis for eviction, and I look for it.
Do you?
When I find it, I tell them how to do it.
Is it like mining for gold?
Sort of, yeah, because they're going to get, you know, what they think they want, at least in the beginning. What ends up happening in a lot of those cases is that the tenant does move in exchange for an amount of money.
Could be substantial.
Yeah, which is usually substantial, and it makes more sense for the tenant to do that rather than go to trial.
Mm-hmm.
And in some instances, it makes even more sense than staying there, because it's a substantial amount of money,
sure.
and the tenant's willing to take it.
And I presume what the tenants are doing, they're leaving San Francisco possibly and moving to either across the bay to Alameda County or maybe some other county where rental is cheaper.
I think
cheaper.
So, Chuck. My tenants, clients who do move, tell me that they're moving outside of the Bay Area.
Really?
Of the Bay Area, or maybe as close as Oakland, but some of them are just leaving.
They are.
You know, they're taking it as an opportunity to just go somewhere
else.
Have
a little bit more in their bank, being able to pay rent and still have something left over.
Yeah, and it's tough. You know, they didn't want to do it, but because of the circumstances, they just, you know, they go.
Well, hey, we've all got to watch our dollars no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you who have just tuned in a little bit, a few minutes late, don't ever do that again. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our regular, we try to do this about every 6 weeks or so, a landlord-tenant laws, issues, and disputes program. My guest is landlord-tenant attorney Sal Timpano. His offices are in San Francisco. If you'd like to call in, talk with him, our toll-free number, and I want to alert you, since we do share this half hour across the state, the half hour is recorded. It is then sent out to 15 other stations in California, which air it next week. So we're doing this program on October 21st. If you're listening to the program live, our toll-free number is 1-866-798-8255. 1-866-798-8255. Please feel free to call in, ask a question, make a comment if you like, whether you're a landlord or a tenant. We are also doing kind of a mini Call a Lawyer night. By that, I mean right now we have Sam Amin, who's a landlord-tenant attorney in the conference room here at KALW Public Radio. And if you'd like to talk to Sam off the air, by the way, no obligation on your part whatsoever. This is a great public service that these attorneys are performing. That's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Remember that there may be a number of people who want to talk with Sam off the air, so try to be as succinct and courteous in terms of your taking up Sam's time so he can talk to some of the other listeners who are calling in. All right, we're going to start as soon as we can with a call And by the way, for those of you who listen to this program live, we are doing our regular program, regular Call a Lawyer Night next week, where we'll have a number of attorneys here in the conference room on 1-800-525-9917 on a variety of legal topics. And our topic on the air will be the California State Bar's Kids and the Law Consumer Guide on laws focusing on children and youth. So that's something that you may well want to be listening to if you're a parent of a child or a youth that is someone under 18 years of age. We're going to be talking about those laws, and I'm going to have some very fine guests. Larry, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling because I live in a rent-controlled apartment, and I was wondering about what the typical buyout amount is and how I go about negotiating that with my landlord.
Okay, Larry. There is no typical buyout amount. It's different in every case. It would be really unfair for me to put a number out there and have you rely on that. It depends on a lot of factors. But the way to negotiate with your landlord, I would say just get numbers from your landlord. I don't think you should start with the numbers. I think you should let the landlord start with the numbers. That's what I would tell you if you were my client.
And then do what?
And then at that point, I'd probably contact an attorney, because it's not an easy process, and there's a lot of rules that govern it, new rules to boot, not just rules that have been around for a long time. There's new rules on buyouts. And you're going to be leaving your home. And you may be leaving San Francisco. So it's a decision that I think requires counsel.
Larry, you are in a rent-controlled unit in San Francisco?
Yes, I've been there for 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, you're exactly the kind of buyout,
who's just
person
perfect.
Who,
yeah,
yes,
perfect,
yes,
to buy out.
You would need counsel, because rest assured your landlord's going to have an attorney.
Larry, let me suggest something. I've been a lawyer for a long, long time, but I'm a consumer advocate, and I've been doing this program for 31 years, which has been funded by the State Bar of California all of that time. My suggestion, frankly, to you, and this is not to make money for attorneys, I think you should start, if you haven't, by contacting the Lawyer Referral Service for the San Francisco Bar Association. And I'll give you the number immediately, but you can have a half an hour consultation. This is a great way to start. And you call them and say, I'd like to have an appointment with a landlord-tenant attorney who represents tenants for a half an hour consultation. It'll be $35. That doesn't go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service. Which is a great service. This is the way it's done throughout the state. So my suggestion is you do want to sit across the table or across the desk from an attorney to try to get some good direction. And here's the number if you'd like it.
Yes, please.
Yeah, 415-989-1616. 415-989-1616. I think that this is the wisest way for you to start. It's a very small investment on your part financially to begin with, but it's a great way to start trying to figure out what is my next course to take.
Right.
So that's my recommendation.
Yeah, it does.
Okay?
Okay, well, thank you both.
Yeah, Larry, thank you very much for calling.
Good luck.
Oh, yeah, and good luck to you. And by the way, for those of you who would like to talk to Sam Amin off the air, if you're listening to us live on October 21st, be patient, by the way. And unfortunately, I had hoped that we would have had a second attorney in the conference room. I don't know what happened. We didn't get one. But Sam Amin is there at 1-800-525-9917 if you want to talk a little bit longer off the air with him again. There is no obligation on your part whatsoever. This is a great public service that Sam is performing, as well as Sal Timpano, who's here with me in the studio. So the next caller we have on the air with us is G.S. from San Leandro. Hi, G.S.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
Yes, I have a good news, bad news story.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, early in 2013, I was able to make an incredible discovery. I found an in-law unit available in Richmond for $700 a month, including all utilities.
Wow.
Yeah. I was as happy as you sound like you'd be if you were on a retirement income and stuff. And I lived there very happily until middle of last year. And then I was written a letter by my property manager, who was a wonderful guy. I still appreciate what he's done. And he had to inform me that the owner of the property had decided, for the sake of her brother, who was occupying the front house — he'd had a stroke, couldn't navigate stairs — that she was going to bulldoze the in-law unit I was in replace it with a wide level thing that didn't have any stairs but just ramps and stuff. So I had 60 days to move on, because I'd already lived there over a year and a half or something like that. And I was very happy there, very surprised and unhappy, of course, that I had to move. I was a good tenant and everything. So anyway, I don't know, a few months ago, I decided it'd be fun just to go by there and see what the unit looked like.
So you did move out within 60 days, is that right?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, there was no issue with it at all. I moved everything I had.
Good for you.
On I go. No, it's not a legal matters, no contention or anything.
Okay.
But I was curious to see what it looked like, so I was just in the area, and without, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I just looked from about a half a block away, because I knew that the hill could look into that particular location. Well, anyway, the house I had lived in had not been touched. It was exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now it's far enough in the past, so, you know, there's probably nothing I could do about it, even if I wanted to, and I don't really, because, you know, it's just like stirring up a lot of old stuff. But anyway, the point is, my elder daughter has a place in San Francisco. They're steady on because they are buying a condo, and it's a long-term purchase. So the mortgage is a mortgage, and they just make their payments every month. My younger daughter lives in San Jose because her husband works for Google, and they can afford to live anywhere they like. But anyway, I am now in a position where not only do I have to move out of the San Francisco Bay Area because I haven't been able to find a new place to live I can afford, but I've been scouting all the way north to Oregon and Washington, east to the Sierra Nevada, and all over the place. And, you know, a lot of people have used Craigslist. Anything that pops up on Craigslist is likely to disappear in less than 15 minutes. But anyway, I keep looking and keep looking. I'm not asking for any advice unless you can tell me where I should rent a $7.
Well, GS, let me interrupt for a moment. What community are you now living?
I'm in San Leandro right now.
So you are. Okay.
You might get a kick out of this. I am renting the floor of the office of a friend of mine. And he's letting me pay him $20 a night to sleep on the floor in my sleeping bag and my backpack. And when he has to work, I have to leave.
I see.
So, that's right.
GS, let me ask you this. Richmond is in Contra Costa County, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You never saw an attorney, did you, with respect to this?
No, because I felt that under the circumstances, I mean, I knew that the fellow up front had a stroke.
Yeah.
It's just, I think the essence of it was, I'm afraid the property owner had just decided to sort of make up a premise and flush me out.
Let me interrupt you, GS, but we're getting close to the end of the first half hour, and I want to see if Sal might have some suggestions for you. It seems to me, with what was going on here, if there was a misrepresentation by the owner of the property to GS that I'm going to bulldoze this thing and I'm not going to have it available, and he comes back, pardon me, some many months later and says it's still there. Generally speaking, under the law that you're aware of, and please understand this, GS, Sal cannot give specific legal advice on the radio because the state bar doesn't permit that, but what kind of thoughts do you have for GS at this point, and certainly, especially since he has not seen an attorney?
Yeah, there may be claims for fraud, wrongful eviction, claims of that nature. Perhaps the landlord would be willing to re-rent it to you. Maybe they changed their mind. You know, maybe they don't want to pay the and maybe they're in the permit process. You know, you might be able to go on the Department of Building, inspection's website and see if there's any permits, because the work you're describing would require permits for demolition.
Sure, that could, you that might could wanna, very well be.
Yeah,
the,
you might want to.
The property manager did mention, when I called about almost a year later, I called, what's going on? He said, well, the permit process can take a long time.
Mm.
A year seems extremely long to me. But,
yeah.
Those are my thoughts.
You know, I think Sal's suggestion that you try to find out what the status of the permit process is would be worthwhile.
Let me let you go.
Certainly,
oh, yeah, go ahead.
Certainly, GS. Yeah, stop talking, GS, so I can tell.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you would, please. So that you can determine whether or not any part of this was legitimate. And if it was not legitimate, then you may well want to see an attorney, a landlord-tenant attorney in Contra Costa County. That would be my suggestion, which would be the best thing to do. So good luck to you.
Very good. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, take care, GS.
Take care.
Right. We're getting very close to the end of the statewide version of the program. By the way, we record the first half hour, and then that goes out to 15 stations in California, which aired the program the following week. So at this point, for those of you who have called in and want to speak to Sal, we'll get to you in just a few minutes. For those of you who would like to speak to our Call a Lawyer for landlord-tenant, and that's Sam Amin, and we're doing this program on October 21st, that number off the air is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Sam will be here until 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. California time. And Sal Timpano will be here with me on the air for the second half hour until just before 8 p.m. And that number, if you'd like to call it, also is toll-free, 1-866-798-8255, 1-866-798-8255. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to suggest to you that you make your calls now. We'll get to you certainly either in the second half hour of the program, or you can call if you're having a difficulty getting on the air with Sal and me. You can call and speak to Sam. So that's what I would suggest you do, and make the best of it, and hopefully it will be of some help to you. All right. It is the end of our first half hour, and for those of you who are listening to us live on October 21st, please join us with your calls, your questions, etc. And again, as I've mentioned, Sam Amin is our landlord-tenant attorney for Call a Lawyer Night, and he's there at 1-800-525-9917. Here's something that was brought in to me. If Richmond doesn't have rent control, does it? Do you know if it has rent control?
Richmond does not have
rent control. Yeah, I didn't think it did. The landlord doesn't need to have a reason to evict? Well, if you have... It depends on what the situation is. Let me finish this, if you don't mind. Does the landlord have to have a reason to evict? So whether the landlord lied to GS is moot, correct? Well,
no, it's not.
No. Hey, you can't get away with lies.
So,
whoever thought up of that one,
don't
do that again.
So the way to look at that is that it's true that the 60-day notice does not require a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But if a reason is given, that reason is subject to scrutiny.
Yeah.
And if the reason is misrepresentation or a lie, well, then that's illegal.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a potential for a fraud claim.
Yeah,
or
civil. It's civil fraud.
Right.
And so that's why we have suggested to GS that he look into this further, whether or not there's any kind of... petition for knocking down the old house and doing something further, and then possibly if he finds out there's been no application for a permit, to contact a lawyer. Okay, all right. Let's see. We have, I think, next is Rose. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
I would like to bring up a point as far as this short-term rental issue goes.
Sure, sure.
Now, it seems to me that most of the rental agreements I have ever seen specify that a tenant may not sublet the unit or any part of the unit without the landlord's consent.
Yes.
And so therefore, if you were to do short-term rentals in your rented apartment and it has that on the lease, you would be breaking a term of the lease, and therefore that would be just grounds for eviction. So it would be very, very stupid of any tenant who didn't want to lose his or her apartment to even try this. I mean, it's quite possible the landlord might never find out about it, but it's not likely. And that's, you know, would be an immediate grounds for eviction, it would seem to me, wouldn't it?
Well, Rose, the provision that you bring up that says no subletting or assignment is usually coupled with either written language or if it's not written, it's implied that the landlord can't unreasonably withhold consent.
Mm-hmm.
So that tenant who wanted to rent out their apartment to a tourist would simply ask for the landlord's permission and might have to meet some landlord conditions before they do it, because a landlord may have some concerns about who's living in that unit.
Yeah.
Right.
So
splitting the profits with the landlord.
Well, but there's those issues. So the tenant can do it, but to do it without the landlord's consent,
right,
would that's where the problem lies.
Yeah.
And
right,
and if the landlord is unreasonably withholding consent, well, then there's things the tenant can do about that. You know, flesh it out, find out why, and get to the bottom line, and then, you know, they can decide to do it or not. But the landlords cannot unreasonably withhold consent.
Right. Well, I am just bringing this up to inform all those tenants out there who might not have thought of it. I have no intention of renting out my apartment, but I know that it's a common clause that I've seen in most rental contracts I find.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, and I don't think a lot of people, I have heard stories of tenants being evicted for subletting their apartment on the short-term rental thing.
Well, of course.
And the landlord has the whole apartment to make.
Yeah, of course, Rose, usually if there is a written lease, there is some language that deals with that in terms about subletting. Well, thank you very much for calling and bringing that up.
Oh, and the gentleman who called before of the apartment in Richmond, if Richmond doesn't have any rent control,
okay,
it seems to me that his landlord wouldn't need an excuse.
Well, we've discussed that, Rose. I think you missed that. We discussed that. So thank you very much for calling and bringing that up.
Okay.
We did discuss it before you got on the air. All right. Take care. Thank you. All right. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the San Francisco Bar, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, California, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to try to find someone for you who's experienced in the area of law that you're having a problem with, set you up for a half an hour consultation with an attorney. And with minor exception in California, for a half an hour consultation with an attorney, you'll pay somewhere between $25 to $35. It's a great small investment. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service because it needs to survive throughout the state. So that's what that's all about. Also, before we take our next call on the air, I just want to let you know that October, as I think you may well know, is Domestic Violence Month, Prevention Month, I should say. There is being sponsored by the Coordinated Response Committee of the Domestic Violence Council of San Mateo County and Garfield Community School Administration, a workshop entitled Let's Talk Healthy Family Relationships. And that's going to be this Saturday, October 24th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's a free event. And if you're interested, it's at Garfield Community School in Menlo Park, California. If you'd like some more information, call 650-573-2614, 650-573-2614. For the workshop, let's talk healthy family relationships. Okay, again, for Call a Lawyer tonight, off the air, Sam Amin is our landlord-tenant attorney for you. That's 1-800-525-9917. On the air, on Your Legal Rights, I'm Chuck Finney. My guest is Salvatore Timpano. I call him Sal for short, and because that means salvation.
That's right.
I were a tenant, I'd call Sal.
That's right.
His offices are in San Francisco. And join us on our toll-free number, 1-866-798-8255. 1-866-798-8255. Liz, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Hi.
Is this a Better Call Sal?
Hi, Liz. Yeah, sure.
Okay. I am a tenant. I have my landlord's permission to rent out an extra bedroom. And I made a, I typed up an agreement between me and the subtenant, and it includes a clause that says that either party can give the other 30-day notice to, you know, have them move out or for them to move out. And we both signed it. And so I am wondering what kind of, you know, power that actually has.
Where do you live? What city, Liz?
San Francisco.
You do? Okay, SF. So okay. Your landlord has permitted you to do this, is that right?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, and is your landlord aware of your agreement with this subtenant?
I didn't share it with her, but
okay.
She didn't
All right,
want
but you...
anything to do with it. She wanted the whole thing to be between me and the,
right.
the subtenant, and but she did give me her permission, and the money from the subtenant comes directly to me, and then I pay the entire rent to the landlord.
Let me ask you this. In you have a written agreement with your landlord?
No, with the other person that's renting.
No. Listen to my question,
oh.
if you don't mind. If you don't mind.
Yes,
do
I
you
have... I have a lease with my landlord.
Okay. Yes. And is there any provision in the lease with your landlord, the written lease with your landlord, about you subletting the upper unit?
I'm just renting out a room in my same apartment.
Oh, pardon me. Okay. Is there any provision, any written provision?
I haven't looked.
You better do that.
Well, I think, okay. Chuck, her landlord gave her permission.
Well, verbally, but I would hate to have her have a problem if the landlord decides, hey, you're making too much money here.
That's true.
Yeah.
But
go ahead. Can you respond to her?
Sure.
This is Liz.
Liz, okay, so you've already got a written lease with your subtenant. And what was the particular language? Was it language that said
that either person can give the other 30-day notice without cause to end the tenancy.
Okay.
Okay. If that's the only language that's in there with respect to the tenant vacating, it's probably not enforceable.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's in the lease. You agreed to it with the tenant, but it's probably not enforceable.
Why do you say that?
Because
so
there's
Liz, listen to Sal. Don't interrupt for a moment, if you would, please.
There's specific rules on how a master tenant who does not own the rental unit has to inform the subtenant about their rights. And that particular provision with respect to their rights against eviction won't meet the requirement.
Won't meet the requirement under the...
Under the rent board.
Under the rent board.
It's a San Francisco rent board requirement that deals with this issue, and what's in your lease, Liz, won't meet that. It doesn't fall short.
Liz, why are you calling about this on this program at this point?
Because if I'm wondering if I want to have the person leave and they refuse to leave, does that agreement I signed and she signed have any force?
Okay, all right. But you're not right now having a problem with this subtenant, are you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are?
Oh, okay.
All right,
yeah.
Okay. Here, Liz, you have a problem that really requires your taking the next step and making an appointment to sit down with a landlord-tenant attorney. You're essentially the landlord in
right.
this situation.
That's right.
You want to call the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service office and make an appointment to meet with an attorney who represents landlords so that you can discuss this. Now, the first half hour will only cost you $35. And if
yeah.
you don't want to go beyond a half hour, you don't have to. But you've
okay.
got enough of a problem here. If you're having a problem with this subtenant, you really need to sit down face-to-face with an attorney.
Okay.
So please do that. Now, did you get the phone number for the lawyer referral service?
No.
Okay. Do you have something to write with?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What I want to tell all of you who listen to this program, I designed this program 31 years ago to try to educate you about your legal rights and obligations. If you have a legal problem and you're calling on this program, and I don't care where you are, because we are now on the Internet. We've been on the Internet for several years. We're now on the NPR satellite. So there are stations beyond California that are taking the program. What I want you to do so that you can help yourself, when you're listening to this program, if you have a problem, have a piece of paper and a pen or pencil to write down something because it's really critical. Now, here's the phone number for the Lawyer Referral Service, Liz. You ready?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes,
415-989-1616.
Okay.
Okay. You give them a call when you can, but during normal business hours, of course.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Well,
take care.
Thank you very much.
All right, Liz. You
okay.
take care now. Bye-bye.
Okay. So
all right.
Bye-bye.
All right. I call a lawyer. I think that Sam is still here. I can't see him. Is he still here? Oh, good. Sam is still here. Sam Amin, A-M-I-N, who's our landlord-tenant call a lawyer. Lawyer is still here. If you want to talk to him off the air, it's 1-800-525-9917. And for a few more minutes, Sal Timpano will still be here. And that's also toll-free, 1-866-798-8255. And we've got Heidi, or is it Hedy?
Right.
Pardon me. Hedy, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your discussion of Prop F. I'm just going to make a couple of comments.
Sure.
There is a housing crisis
yeah.
in San Francisco.
Certainly is.
I'll give an example. San Francisco needed 300 teachers this fall and was not able to hire even one-third of them because they could not afford to live in the city. So
wow.
I say that because it has societal implications.
I'll say. Yeah.
I understand that the free market is what drives a good deal of this economy, but there are other human needs that yeah. maybe the free market doesn't address.
Yeah.
And Prop F is perhaps with some flaws in it, trying to address that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I would just give a context. It may not be the ideal way, and I have not personally decided whether I'm going to vote yes or no. And I also want to make another comment. The law that is in existence now does have a 90-day limit
mm-hmm.
in it. So it's 15 days less, and that is an issue. And
mm-hmm.
I think the primary issue, as I understand it, is that there is no differentiation in this attempt between people who have a room in their house, maybe their kid is off in college, they don't want to rent it full-time, and need or would like to make a bit of extra money, and the many, many, many apartments which have become available to platforms such as Airbnb, not only Airbnb, VRBO, et cetera, where there are entire apartments that are rented on a part-time basis to tourists that could be available for full-time rental. So I just want to say it's a complex problem.
Yeah.
And there are people who can't live in this city anymore. Yeah. Nobody can. If I can, because I bought a house 40 years ago, I couldn't live here otherwise.
Yeah. Well, Hedy, thank you very much for your comments. Yes, this is something that I think people need to, that is, voters in San Francisco need to study very, very carefully.
Need to think about.
Yeah, and think about it. This is the most, I think, controversial measure on the San Francisco ballot for November 4th.
It is, but there's also a moral issue involved here.
Yes.
So I just want to add that to the mix.
Yeah.
Whatever people decide.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much for bringing that up.
Okay, thanks.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Sam is still there, 1-800-525-9917. Sal is still here.
I'm here.
1-866-798-8255. I'm still here, believe it or not. And we have Renee. Welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you tonight?
All right, thank you. How are you, Renee?
Doing well, thank you.
Good.
I am a nearly 30-year tenant in a rent-controlled building in San Francisco. In July, my three-unit building was converted into condominiums.
Your three-unit building?
Yes.
Okay.
In July, I was offered a one-year lease. Mm-hmm. That at my current rate.
Yeah.
And I could also choose to leave before that year and receive a $1,000 relocation assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Or stay to the end of the year, and at that time it's kind of ambiguous what might happen. My rent could be increased 300%. Because it takes, condoization takes a building out of rent control.
Yes, you're right. It does. However, I haven't worked with this in a while, but you might need to check to see if it takes it out of rent control for the owner who converted it into a condo.
Yeah.
It may have to be sold by that owner in order for the new owner to then be able to own it outside of rent control.
Do you still have, does your landlord, whoever owned the building, is that person still the same owner, Renee?
Yes.
Uh-huh, okay.
So you might want to just check into that. I know that it's true for two-unit buildings that are converted by co-owners. Those co-owners, if they put the condominium up for rent, cannot take advantage of the condominium status of the unit with respect to rent control. It's still going to be under rent control as long as they own it. Once they sell it to a bona fide purchaser, then that purchaser is no longer restricted by rent control.
Uh-huh.
It allows the new purchaser to have an incentive to buy.
Uh-huh.
Because if they're going to buy a 30-year rent-controlled tenancy, how much are they going to pay for that condo?
Yeah.
They're not going to want it. Yeah. So, you know, if home ownership is important, then you want to let those folks buy it without being subject to rent control so they can, you know, own this home, this condo.
Renee, let me ask you this. When is the year up?
We will be July 2016.
Okay, so you've got about 9 months or so essentially left on this, 8 or 9 months left. You have not seen an attorney, I presume?
I have been seriously looking for an attorney, and it's very uncommon. A lot of people really don't know about the condo conversion laws.
Well,
however, I did see quite a few, and everybody shrugs their shoulders and says, yeah, you're going to get a 60-day notice in July to vacate the premises, and you're going to get $1,000 relocation.
Let me ask you now to focus on something. Are you saying that you have actually seen more than one attorney?
Yes.
And these are attorneys who practice landlord-tenant law?
Yes.
I see.
Okay.
And did you do it on a basis that you paid them a fee, or was this just somebody who you called on the phone and out of the blue?
I went to all the local agencies around San
Francisco. Did you? Okay, good for you.
Did you call the San Francisco Rent Board?
Yes, and they shrugged their shoulders and said, we don't even know anything about this. But, okay. I guess that's what you get.
I haven't dealt with it in a long, long time, and I think you should probably take down the phone number that I think Chuck is going to offer you that call.
I'm going to do it again, Rennie. Have you contacted the lawyer referral service of the San Francisco Bar?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'd like you to try that. And make it very clear when you call them what you're doing. They try their best to try to get people connected with the correct attorney. Here we are, and I have another question that I want to ask Sal, but do you have something to write with?
I do.
Oh, good for you. All right. The lawyer referral service number is 415-989-1616. 415-989-1616. You're going to, when you call that number, you will speak to a human being in the lawyer referral service office. Make sure that you try to explain on the phone what the problem is, and make sure they are listening to you. By asking them, do you understand? I'm in a situation. This is not the normal landlord-tenant situation. Mm-hmm. There's been a condo conversion here, but it's the same owner is the owner of the condo. So
the critical issue is that it's a three-unit.
It's a three-unit.
It's not a two-unit that was converted by owner-occupiers.
Ah, okay.
Then they wouldn't be able to do it unless they sold it, those owners. So, but here it's a three-unit. It went through the lottery process. They may not have that. There may not be that protection in there, and that may be why she's getting the advice she's getting.
Your owner of the building is not living in one of the three units, Renee?
No.
Okay. Well, please call the lawyer referral service tomorrow, will you?
I will. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. Good luck to you.
Good luck, Renee.
Now, here's a question that was brought into the studio, and this is with regard to the moving incentive. Renee was talking about the owner of the property now who did the condo conversion. In this agreement that she has with the owner is that at the end of this period, the moving incentive was $1,000. Now, would that have been, assuming that we don't have all of the other issues, would that be within line in terms of the moving incentive for someone to move out of a rent-controlled unit?
Well, if the landlord is entitled to make use of the 60-day eviction notice because it's a condominium outside of rent control, then there really is no legal requirement that the landlord pay anything at all.
Yeah.
So they're offering the $1,000, and if the tenant thinks that's not enough, then they could certainly ask for more. But at the end of the day, I think the $1,000 is a replacement for litigation. And if the tenant doesn't take the $1,000 or a certain amount of money because they don't intend to move, I think they're going to get a lawsuit. That could be more expensive.
If this is something that still would be considered, and I'm sorry to put you in a situation like this, but I think I have to, if you don't mind,
Sal.
If this is still something covered by rent control...
Yes.
Is that $1,000 in accord with...
No.
No.
No. Relocation funds under the rent ordinance, they're pretty much all in the $5,000 range, $5,200, $5,300 per person, per unit. There's a cap.
Well, that's what I can recall.
Yeah.
Programs we've done before.
Yes. So those numbers would apply if it was under rent control.
Yeah. So, Renee, obviously, it's very important for you to try to see if the lawyer referral service for San Francisco Bar can find someone for you who has some background and or has some experience in this and doesn't just shrug his or her shoulders. So good luck to you. All right, a few more minutes remaining for Call a Lawyer. We still have Sam Amin here. That's 1-800-525-9917. I think we have enough time for one more call on the air with Sal Timpano. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Hi,
go ahead.
Okay, so I basically live in a five-bedroom flat in a three-unit house, and the landlord rents them all out separately. And what happened is two of the roommates left a few weeks ago. And before they did, they had a big old party. It doesn't matter. They brought a bunch of people home. And afterwards, the landlord wouldn't... He first changed the locks to those two rooms. And then he was telling us that we weren't going to have anyone else move in there, which sounds sort of suspicious to me. And then also, 2 days later, I get a note on my door saying there's a section 9.3 something complaint for the noise from the day before. So I guess my question is, it seems like he's trying to push the other two of us out, and I wonder if we have any legal way to show that those claims are false.
Well, let me see if I can get some comments for you, but turn your radio back up because we're getting very close to the end of the program at this point, Stephen. What thoughts do you, what direction do you have for him? No specific legal advice.
Right. No, but look, the noise complaint is just putting you on notice that somebody complained about noise. You didn't get a 3-day notice to stop making noise. And if you did, you would just stop making noise, and that would be it. It's curable. So I don't see that noise complaint in and of itself is anything to be concerned about. It might be part of a bigger plan, but by itself, it means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And if this continues to be a hassle for you, again, Stephen, I'm a great advocate of people getting some specific legal advice, not just from a radio program where we try to do our best to give you some direction, but we cannot give you specific legal advice. And that's why the lawyer referral service throughout the state of California is such a valuable thing. So I hope you got the phone number for the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service, which may be of some help to you, I hope. We have about 30 seconds before we have to end the substance of the program. Any, you want to give us a blessing at this point now, Sal?
Sure, Chuck. You know, it's tough out there for both landlords and tenants with the housing shortages that San Francisco has. And, if it wasn't such a desirous place to live, we wouldn't have these polarizing problems, But this is what you get when you live in a place that everybody wants to live in. You know, people are shoveling snow and they just want to come here. Mm-hmm. So they come and these are the problems we have.
Sal, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Chuck.
Great to have you. Great to have you on the program. Sal Timpano is a landlord-tenant attorney. His offices are in San Francisco, and I want to make it very clear. Sal doesn't represent the landlord and the tenant at the same time.
That's right, Chuck.
Okay. Next week, everybody, we're going to have a discussion about the California State Bar's Kids and the Law Consumer Guide for Parents on laws focusing on children and youth. And now that's going to be on October 28th. My guest will be Bob Perez, former assistant executive director of the California State Bar, now legal reviewer of the State Bar's Consumer Guides. Jeff Hayden, California Board of Legal Specialization certified specialist in criminal law, president of the San Mateo County Bar Association. And Andrew Kane, supervising attorney, legal advocates for children and youth, the Law Foundation of Silicon Valley. It will also be on October 28th, our regular Call a Lawyer night at 7 p.m. at 1-800-525-9917. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Thank you very much for listening to Your Legal Rights, and I hope you join us next week. I'm Chuck Finney.